here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Want to get no punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Lance Meadow with you. So glad you could join us as we are with you for the next 60 minutes, getting you set for Thursday night football. A quick turnaround for the New York Giants as they will visit the Washington Redskins, their first divisional game this season. Both teams at 1-2, tied for last place in the NFC East standings. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You could also send in your comments on Twitter using hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Certainly a lot to get to over the next 60 minutes. We'll go over the injury report, and we'll go over some of the biggest storylines to keep close tabs on as the Giants get set to go head-to-head with the Washington Redskins. We'll get to your tweets. We'll get to your phone calls as well. First, I just want to address the injury report, and it is a very short week in which they had to turn around from that Houston Texans game. So a lot of players are listed as questionable, doubtful, and so forth, but things can drastically change between today and tomorrow. But in terms of what the injury report looks like, at least from the Giants' perspective, heading into tomorrow's game, yesterday they went through a limited practice. These were the following players that were limited. John Beeson. The door is still open. It's a possibility he could very well return to the field on Thursday. Odell Beckham has essentially been ruled out, even though he was listed as a limited participant. Tom Coughlin was asked about this following practice yesterday, and Tom Coughlin mentioned that probably we're looking at the future when you talk about Odell Beckham Jr. He also addressed the media. Atlanta could be a realistic option, but it is unlikely that he's going to be out on the field Thursday. And if he's dealing with a hamstring injury, there's no point of all of a sudden bringing him back and rushing him back just because you may be low on some bodies for Thursday's game. You might as well hold him back, get him set for that Atlanta game. Zach Bowman was limited with a quad injury. James Brewer and Charles Brown, who have had lingering injuries that have kept them out of some games. Brewer's got the back. Charles Brown has the shoulder. And punter Steve Weatherford obviously dealing with that left ankle injury. The only one who did not participate in practice was Devon Kennard, the linebacker who's dealing with the hamstring injury, and he would probably be the one player that is not expected to suit up. Everybody else who was limited yesterday, with the exception of Odell Beckham Jr., has somewhat of an opportunity to perhaps suit up for tomorrow's game. In terms of the Redskins, it's an absolute laundry list of injuries. They're a lot more banged up than the Giants were coming out of Sunday's game, which could bode well for the Giants, but you can't necessarily anticipate that that's going to be a huge break. The biggest injury for them is probably on the offensive line and the fact that they may have to do some juggling. Sean Laval, who is one of their starting guards, is dealing with a knee injury. So he's probably going to be out, which means that they're going to turn to a backup, a third-round pick in 2012, who's likely going to take Laval's spot. And that is going to be Josh Laribis, who I mentioned was a third-round pick in 2012. He's had a lot of experience, though, for a third-round pick for over the last few years. So I don't know necessarily if that's a huge downgrade. Laval, who they brought over from the Cleveland Browns, has plenty of starting experience. The rest of the offensive line is a veteran group, and they've done a good job protecting their quarterbacks. Washington's only surrendered two sacks so far through three games. You have Trent Williams at the left tackle spot. His fifth season. Corey Lichtensteiger, who's entering his sixth season. They've moved him around from left guard to center. Chris Chester's in his ninth season, and Troy Polumbus is in his sixth season. So the offensive line, for the most part, is still in the same shape as it was last year, with the exception of maybe a player here or two moving from one spot to another. But Sean Laval is probably the one player that they'll probably be without heading into tomorrow's game. Other than that, their offensive line should be in a good position compared to where they were in the previous weeks as they would be dealing with a number of injuries. Other than that, Washington is expected to have pretty much everybody else in uniform. Brian Arakpo is dealing with a finger injury. And when you look at the defense, the heart and soul of the defense is their edge rushers. And I'm talking about Ryan Kerrigan and Brian Arakpo. They have 10 sacks overall as a defensive unit. It's a little misleading, that statistic. Why? Because the 10 sacks came against the Jacksonville Jaguars in week two. The other two games, they've had no sacks. They have had a number of quarterback hits. And that, to me, is a more telling statistic. They had 23 quarterback hits over the first three games. And they have been spread out for the most part. They did get to Nick Foles time and time again. He took his fair share of hits. In addition to that hit from Chris Baker that led to the brawl, they got to him. They made him somewhat uncomfortable. Philadelphia clearly had nearly 400 yards of offense. They were able to overcome that. But it's not so much the sacks when you look at the Washington Redskins. It's the fact that as a unit, they are very good at getting to the quarterback. However, the good news for the Giants is they're coming off by far their best performance in protecting Eli Manning against J.J. Watt and company. And the offensive line has shown improvement, has shown increased production over the last few weeks. That's something that bodes very well for the Giants heading into a short, quick turnaround against a Washington Redskins defense that has some tenacity to it and has some quickness. This group is a veteran group. They've brought in some new faces in that front seven to replace the likes of some of their linebackers. But other than that, they're in pretty good shape health-wise, despite the fact that Brian Arakpo is dealing with the finger injury. If there's any major question mark about this Redskins defense, it would be in the secondary. And it's the fact that they lost D'Angelo Hall, their veteran corner. So the players that are now going to have to fill the void are relatively young and unproven. And the two names that come to mind when you look at this secondary is they have Bashaud Breeland, fourth-round pick in 2014. He is going to now replace D'Angelo Hall. He's done quite well since he replaced Hall in the last game against the Eagles. And then they have David Amerson, the second-round pick in 2013, who got plenty of playing time last year, but now he has stepped into a starting role. Safeties are veterans in terms of Brandon Merriweather and Ryan Clark. And Ryan Clark, you may recognize that name, the former Giant. But this secondary has been tested through the air over the first few weeks of the season, specifically what Nick Foles was able to do to that secondary last week. They're very stingy against the run. They're only giving up about 65 yards on the ground. It's through the air where they have some inefficiency. So at least on paper heading to this game, if you're Eli Manning, you're saying to yourself, hey, there could be opportunities to further increase the consistency of our passing game and pick up where we left off against the Houston Texans. But to head into this game thinking that you're going to run for 193 yards again and you're going to get over 170 from Rashad Jennings, you know, maybe somewhat wishful thinking. Doesn't mean it can't be done, but this group compared to the Texans front seven, it's a more consistent group against the run. This is not a group coming in that is giving up 5.8 yards per carry, and that's what the Houston Texans defensive line was surrendering heading into last Sunday's game against the New York Giants, and credit to the Giants, they were able to take advantage of that. Washington has been much more consistent in terms of getting into its gaps and stopping the run. Other than Arian Foster, Jacksonville was not able to run the football quite well, and neither was Philadelphia. They held LeSean McCoy to 22 yards on 19 carries, so they did a very good job containing what on paper, and at least in reality, appears to be one of the best rushing duos in the National Football League, that being LeSean McCoy and Darren Sproles. We'll get into more about the Washington Redskins, some of the challenges that their offense presents for the New York Giants, in addition to more tidbits on their defensive side of things, but let's open up the phone lines as well, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You can hit me up on Twitter, follow and interact with me, at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Use hashtag Giants Chat. Let's open up the lines here. We go to Maurice from Montclair, New Jersey. Maurice, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, Lance. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Maurice. How about yourself? What's on your mind?
I'm doing good. Well, coming off that win this Sunday, there's a few things that I noticed. I noticed that the Giants kind of, you know, set the tone and, you know, was dictating what they wanted to do. And another thing was the hurry-up offense had, you know, J.J. Watt and those boys kind of sucking wind. You know, every time they would put the camera on J.J. Watt, he would be breathing kind of heavy. I think going into this game, hearing about how the Redskins get after quarterbacks and stuff, I think if we can – like Eli says, you know, find the completions, you know, with the pace of the offense and then sneak some runs in there, you know, gash them up. I think that we can, you know, we can have that crowd noise to a minimum. And, you know, I think we can move at our pace and start to do the same things you've seen in the Houston game. I'm just wondering, you know, how you feel about that and if this Giants team can, you know, find that consistent rhythm and finals completions that Eli Manning has been talking about?
Well, Maurice, to answer your question, they did find somewhat of a consistent rhythm in the last game against the Houston Texans. They were getting rid of the football quicker, and that was evident because of the protection and some of the flexibility that Eli Manning had, and I don't see why they can't continue that game plan against the Washington Redskins. You want to slow down that pass rush, and the best way to slow down the pass rush is to get rid of the football. For example, they were using Victor Cruz on some slant routes, and that was one of the play that he got open for that 61-yard gain. So there's no reason why they can't try to duplicate that, because if Kerrigan and Arakpo are going to continue to come towards Eli Manning, you get rid of the football. Listen, they could do all they want to get to Eli Manning. If he doesn't have the football, it's not going to make any difference. So I think that they can have that level of success. I like the matchup between the Giants receiving core and this Washington secondary. Tracy Porter is expected to come back in the slot after dealing with a hamstring injury. And Tracy Porter is a veteran corner. He's been with the Oakland Raiders in the last few years. But you don't know how fully healthy he is if this is going to be the first game he suits up. So that could be an advantage for the Giants coming out of the slot. And Breland and Amerson, we're talking about very limited experiences starting corners in this league. So if you're the Giants, regardless of whether your passing game has been extremely consistent over the first few games, you want to at least test Washington and see what this young nucleus has to offer to perhaps try to slow you down.
Right, I agree. And two more points. How do you feel? This is how I feel about the offensive line gelling. I think this tempo that we're playing with and this quick and, you know, hurry-up style offense is kind of helping these guys, you know, get to understand each other, and, you know, with catching the defense off guard, they're kind of tipping their head on what they're getting ready to do. And Eli Manning has been doing a great job these past 2 weeks on putting us in the best position to, you know, get first downs and completions. And what are Washington's defensive tendencies? Are they a heavy man, or are they a mixture, or are they a straight zone kind of team? I haven't been watching them close enough. You know, I've just been kind of focused on the Giants, and that's all I have for today.
All right, Maurice, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. Well, Eli Manning's completion percentage has been very good over the last two games. Part of that has been because they've been able to run the football. When you run the football, as Maurice alluded to, you get into manageable third downs. The numbers in terms of third down efficiency didn't really jump off the page in the last game. The Giants were only 4 of 12 on third down. Majority of the inefficiencies came late in the game where they were just trying to pretty much solidify the victory. But if you look at the numbers in terms of the manageable third downs that they were facing, and actually was charting most of the third downs. Let me bring that up just to paint the picture here. In terms of third down efficiency, they were 4 of 12, as I mentioned, against the Texans in week 3. However, 7 of those downs were for 4 yards or less. Now, if you put that in perspective, in game number 1, they only had 4 downs for 4 yards or less. In game 2 against the Cardinals, they had 5 downs for 5 yards or less. So the numbers are increasing in terms of their getting in more manageable positions on third down each and every game. Why? Because the running game has been improving. See, that is such a big turning point for this team. What couldn't they do consistently last year? Couldn't run the football. When you can't run the football, then that means that you're passing on first and second down time and time again, and that means more often than not you're facing 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 7, and so forth. When they run the ball and Rashad Jennings picks up 6 or 7 yards on the first two downs combined, you're facing 3rd and 4s, 3rd and 5s, and there's a lot more flexibility in terms of your playbook, what you can all of a sudden draw up compared to when you're facing a 3rd and long. So that has been the biggest blessing for this Giants offense, at least in the short term here. Can they continue to do that? Well, the Giants rushing game did more than a flash in the last contest, but now it's a matter of can they carry it over game to game. I think the most interesting storyline regarding the running game to watch heading into this contest is not so much what the Redskins are going to do, but how about the fact that Jennings is coming off a game in which he had 34 carries. They ran the ball 42 times. This would be a game I would expect Andre Williams little bit more of a role in this game. Why? Because I think they don't want to obviously wear down Jennings, especially in a short turnaround. Doesn't mean that you don't want to continue to feed Jennings the football, but it's not probably the wise game plan to give him 34 carries again. You want to give him 20, and then you want to slowly improve and increase the amount of carries for Andre Williams, because by the time you get late in the season, I think it's important to solidify a role for Andre Williams where you could say, you know what, hey, Williams can give us about 10 carries a game. Maybe if we need, we'll throw in Peyton Hillis for 3 or 4, but this way you're not necessarily getting yourself in a position where you're constantly giving Rashad Jennings 34 to 35 carries. hey, it's great that he's been a consistent workhorse, but you have to think about maintaining him for the 16-game slate. I think that's going to be an important thing to monitor as we take you along throughout the course of the season. Let's head back to the phone lines. Antoine is in Georgia. Antoine, what's happening?
Okay, I'm here.
What you got, Antoine?
My question is, the Giants pass rush has looked pretty solid last couple of weeks. And I know the Redskins have a pretty good offensive line. My question is, do you think the Giants can get, just enough pass rush to get to Kirk Cousins?
Well, they're going to have to try to fluster him in the pocket one way or the other, because when Cousins has enough time, he's shown that he has a great deal of success in terms of moving the football down the field. So it's a must, to answer your question, Antoine. They have to get to Kirk Cousins, because Washington can rely on its running game. They don't necessarily have to put Kirk Cousins in a position where he has to throw 40 to 45 times. I mean, it's gotten to that point because they've been in a lot of offensive clinics. But Alfred Morris is more than capable of handling 25 to 30 carries a game. And they've got Roy Helu Jr. as a change of pace. They've been utilizing Silas Red more and more times. And let's not forget Darryl Young, their fullback, who's been used in those short line, goal line situations. He actually has 3 touchdowns to lead all the running backs. So they like to throw in a variety of different running backs, fullbacks in the back. Field. But to me, the Giants are going to have to fluster Kirk Cousins, make him uncomfortable. Can they do that? As I mentioned, the Washington offensive line has only surrendered 2 sacks. They've done a pretty good job protecting Kirk Cousins. Philadelphia barely even touched Kirk Cousins. I think Washington touched Nick Foles more so than vice versa. The Giants pass rush has been present over the last few games. Has it been dynamic? I wouldn't necessarily go that far. Has it been a game-changing unit? I wouldn't necessarily go that far as well, but there has been a presence. More often than not, and Perryfield talked about this the other day, Antoine, they've been a fraction of a second off. They've been a step away here or there, but Robert Ayers has played very well. JPP has had his burst. He's had his periods of time where he's all over the place, and then he's had his periods of time where you don't really know where he's at. So they have to work out some of the consistency areas in that department, but I think that they'll have the ability to test this offensive line, but you know, don't expect the Giants to come in and all of a sudden get 10 sacks in this contest. I'd be very surprised considering how consistent this O-line has been for Washington.
Okay. My last question is, John Beeson is a go for tomorrow night, right?
Well, he's not a guarantee. The fact that he took part in a limited practice yesterday, I think, increases the chances that he'll get on the field. But a lot is going to depend on how his recovery went today. You know, they have somewhat of a workout today, and then how he responds tomorrow. So he's not necessarily smooth sailing in the clear path to play tomorrow. But I think the fact that he's taken part in practices this week, more so than last week, at least will help his cause.
Thanks for taking
You got it, Antoine. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Can't get to the phones. Send in your comments and your tweets at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to some of your tweets momentarily. Let's head back to the lines. Dom is in New Jersey. Dom, what's happening?
How's it going, Lance?
I'm doing well, Dom. How about yourself? What you got?
Good. I'm happy that we finally got a win. You know, it's good to not go 0-6 this year. I was getting a little nervous. But one of my questions, you were talking about John Beeson coming back, but what's going on with Odell Beckham Jr.? I haven't really been keeping up much of the website, so I don't know where he's at right now.
Well, Beckham took part in a limited practice. He did a lot of his work before they actually got into the ins and outs of practice. So, you know, he's making strides. He's working with the training staff very closely. He's been in the meeting rooms, but he will not likely play tomorrow. If anything, I mean, I'm looking at the schedule here. You could probably pencil in at this point the October 5th game at home against the Falcons, which is their next game after they're going to have 10 days off. I think he is pinpointing that game. I think the Giants are pinpointing that game, barring any setbacks. But don't expect him to suit up tomorrow. He's making strides. The fact that he's got on the field is a positive. But, you know, don't expect any miracles overnight tonight that's all of a sudden going to make him available tomorrow.
And what else I kind of like is that I like that Preston Barker was stepping up a little bit. It seemed like he was finding some rhythm in the game What did you think about that?
Well, Preston Parker made some plays. There were a few drives that Eli Manning looked to him on third down. It's a matter of the next man up. Jarrell Jernigan's on IR right now. Victor Cruz needs help. So the fact that Preston Parker has, at least in limited opportunities, made the most of his chances is going to help. They're going to need, though, Odell Beckham Jr. back, because he's much more of a playmaker than Preston Parker, just in terms of some of the intangibles that he brings to the table. But it was nice to see Preston Parker be somewhat productive. It's going to take a unit right now. Until Odell Beckham Jr. comes back, they're going to need Parker. They're going to need Larry Donnell. They're going to need Daniel Fells. The more consistency they can get out of each and every entity on this offense, Dom, that's going to help this offense overall.
Yeah, I see. I like that you mentioned Larry Donnell. I really liked his performance the last couple of weeks. I'm glad that that's not even a huge problem with us right now.
No, the tight end actually has been a pleasant surprise for the team. And, Dom, appreciate the phone call. It was the one position that we were talking about to death during the course of training camp, how everybody should raise the red flag, be alarmed, and through three games, I mean, we're not saying that all of a sudden it's not going to become an issue, but through three games, it's been one of the most consistent units on this team. And that's a positive. The fact that Daniel Fells has two touchdowns, Larry Donnell has been aggressive in the red zone. He's made plays, moving the chains. They've proven that Eli Manning can rely on them. And that's what you want to do if you're a tight end. You want to make your quarterback feel comfortable. So that has been a huge positive for the Giants. They still need more consistency, though, out of this receiving core. And the one player in particular that, you know, not a lot of people are talking about is Reuben Randall. You know, Randall has yet to really have his, what I want to call his show-me game, a game where he goes out there, makes plays, continues to haul in the football, takes pressure off of Victor Cruz. You know, we're waiting for that to come to fruition. He's the next guy in line. Preston Parker has stepped up to a certain degree. The tight ends have answered the call. Rashad Jennings had his breakout game. I think if you go throughout the checklist, if you go down the list, Reuben Randall's the next man up. When is his game going to come up that he is going to say, I am here, I am embracing my role as the second wide receiver, and there's no looking back? He's the next player up. That's where I would go in terms of the priority list. Let's take a look at some of the tweets that you've sent in terms of some of the topics that we have gotten into over the last few hours here. Sonny Boy says, you also have to remember Philly had one starting O lineman once Peters was gone. Well, Philadelphia was fairly banged up in terms of their offensive line. They did lose a few offensive linemen. Jason Kelce was hurt also during the course of the contest. So, I mean, you have to take that into consideration. However, with that being said, now the Redskins have playmakers. I don't think that you could dismiss that. As I mentioned, 10 sacks over the first three games. They all came during the course of the Jaguars game. And isn't this lovely? You know, a pleasant surprise.
Well,
John Schmoke joins us.
I thought you were going to come and get me.
We didn't know exactly where everybody was about, but now that you have joined us, we are good to have you aboard here. And we were talking about the Redskins' pressure packages and so forth in terms of
Jim Haslett,
what type of challenges that will pose for the Giants' offensive line.
Brings the heat.
Correct. At Sonny Boy 2323 saying that Washington was able to get to Philadelphia's quarterback, Nick Foles, because they lost a few offensive linemen during the course of the game. And I think that played somewhat of a role. But, I mean, when you have Ryan Kerrigan and Brian Arakpo, those two have a pretty good track record.
No doubt about it. And look, Jim Haslett, over the course of his career, has been known to bring pressure. And we talked to a couple of Redskin guys over the summer, some of the guys that cover the Redskins, some of the reporters. And they talked about how last year Shanahan would almost hold Haslett back in a lot of the things he tries to do in terms of pressure and things of that nature. So this year, they've basically given him the keys to the car and said, you know what, you're on your own. And Jay Gruden's worrying about the offense, you got the defense. So I think you're going to see even more pressure from Haslett than you've seen in the past. And frankly, even with D'Angelo Hall's injury, I don't think it's going to change the fact. What the Redskins are going to do in this game, they're going to bring pressure, and they're going to tell the Giants, we're going to make your receivers beat us. Now, Victor Cruz did that last week. We'll have an opportunity to do it again this week. We'll see if he can.
Well, if I'm Jim Haslett, I want to try to help out that secondary, which has some depth, but a lot of unproven commodities. The two players in particular that are going to be at the corner spots only have 1 year in total of experience. So those are big question marks back there.
There are. So you're going to have to bring the heat. But at the same time, every time you blitz, you do put your corners on island.
Yep.
So if you don't get there, then the corners are in trouble. So there's definitely a give or take here in terms of what the Redskins can do with D'Angelo Hall's injuries. They've never had very good safeties. And now their corners are young and inexperienced as well. So certainly I think this will be more of a passing game, despite the fact that both teams want to run the football. Alfred Morris, obviously a big guy that likes to run the ball. We saw the Giants last week run the ball 40 times in that game. I think this is going to be more of a passing contest. Though now we'll see with the weather. That's a bad field. There could be some rain, some wet conditions. Maybe that'll change some things up a little bit. It's something we'll have to wait and see and find out.
And the field surface in Washington is nothing to write home about.
Not a great field.
So that could play a role, too. Let's head back to the phone lines. 201-939-4513. Mike is in New Jersey. Mike, welcome to the program. What you got?
What's going on, guys?
How are you, Mike?
Doing well, Mike. What's happening?
Check this out. Yo, fellas, this is the type of game that we got to win the battle of the trenches. You know what I'm saying, Schmoke?
I do, but it's going to be tough. The Redskins have a very good front seven and defensive line.
I understand that, man. But listen, if we give 23 the pill about 15 times, incorporate some of that backup work from Williams and some Payton, I think we'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? That opens up things for play action and bomb it out the cruise.
In order to open up play action, though, you have to run successfully, something the Giants really haven't done except for that third game of the regular season. They didn't run the ball well in weeks one and week two against Detroit and against Washington. And I would compare, against Detroit and against Arizona, I would compare Washington's front seven to those two teams. I think they are similarly talented as the teams the Giants play in the first 2 weeks. So you're right. I do think you can get the ball down the field against this team. Use play action, but first, you have to run successfully, something the Giants haven't done so far.
And keep in mind, Mike, as John just touched on, 2.4 yards per carry against the Lions, 3 yards per carry against the Cardinals, and then it jumped up to 4.6 against the Texans. So they've made strides, but that's a significant jump to go from 2.4 to 4.6 in the span of two games, and they're going up against a 3-4 defense for the third straight week. And Washington's defense, the heart and soul, is that linebacking core, because their two-edge pass rushers are on the left and the right side, respectively.
I understand that, fellas, but you know what? I just see a good sign in the running game. You know, right now that O-line, they're starting to have some more chemistry with each other. I think they're starting to trust each other more, have that confidence. And, you know, obviously we got to see how they could perform physically. But I think it's just a good sign all across the board. And I'm telling you, man, we just give Rashad Jennings that pill about 15 times. That's how it's got to start off. And we'll just keep that ball moving, man.
Hey, look, and thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That's what they're going to try and do. I don't think there's any doubt about it. That's going to be their effort. That's what they're going to want to try to do, but it's going to be hard. Remember, guys, look, give the Giants a lot of credit for the way they ran the football last week, all right? They ran the football really well, but the Texans' run defense coming to that game was also one of the worst in football. They got torn up the first 2 weeks of the regular season trying to stop the run. So I'm not taking anything away. I'm just saying it's a bigger challenge this week against the Redskins because of their personnel and because of their scheme.
You have to take into consideration the fact that the Texans were dead last in terms of yardage per carry, 5.8 yards per carry they were giving up.
It's not good.
Correct. Yes. I think you're going out on a limb there saying it's not good, but it's true. The Giants took advantage of it.
I don't need the Tino's yellow legal pad to tell
me
that.
No, you do not need the breakdowns. You don't need the charts.
I do not.
The Redskins are a stingier group. They've done very well against the run. Arian Foster had success in that week one matchup, but after that, the Jaguars and even the Eagles, who have the most dynamic rushing attack.
I know. Last week,
virtually nothing.
LeSean McCoy, though he was banged up, I understand now, 19 carries, 22 yards. I mean, that's an unbelievable performance by the Redskins defense. And look, we'll see about Jason Hatcher. We'll see about, you know, Brian Arakpo is going to play with the cast, apparently. Barry Colfield's still out. So they are banged up a little bit, and that's going to hurt them. We'll see how well they can play with those injuries, but they certainly have the talent to be good against the run again. I have a feeling, folks, I know you guys want to pound the ball. I think this is going to be a passing game. I think both teams are going to air it out. I think both quarterbacks could go over 300 yards.
Kirk Cousins had 511 total yards of offense that he helped produce against the Philadelphia Eagles defense. And Philadelphia also aired it out plenty of times. Nick Foles hit Jordan Matthews for a pair of touchdowns. Jeremy Maclin also had a big score. So both of those teams, if you look at how they set the tempo last week, you figure, hey, the Giants are at least watching film and saying, if Philadelphia had success through the air, we might as well at least press our luck and try.
And trust me, people are watching some of the big plays this Giants secondary have given up over the course of this season. They've given up some third and longs. They've given up some plays down the field. It's happened. So just saying, trust me, the Redskins have seen that. So moving forward, your other team's going to try to take advantage of that.
Now let's take a look at some of the tweets that are coming in. Richard King at Richter Cruz 13. Any possibility we see more of DeMonster tomorrow? I know Ayers has outperformed him, but if he's going to improve, he needs reps. And he has increased his reps on defense, but you know what? At the same time, John, there's still those mental mistakes to me that are evident with DeMontre Moore, and that's probably what's still holding him back somewhat.
Well, he's better, but I think the issue, too, is stopping the run. DeMontre Moore is still known very much as a pass rusher, and the Redskins are going to run that stretch play, and they're going to run it at DeMontre Moore if he's in the game. Kiwanuka, Jason Pierre-Paul, and Robert Ayers are all better against the run than DeMontre Moore. So, look, I think you'll see DeMontre Moore on the field a ton when you're in pass rush situations, but right now I think that's going to be his role. You're not going to see him in obvious running situations.
Let's take a look at some other tweets here, and you can continue to send in your tweets using hashtag Giants Chat. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Ben Gruen at Gruen Ben says, I agree this is the game. Andre Williams gets significant carries instead of one here or there. Get him going, dominant preseason. And I got into this earlier, John, the fact that it's a short week, and Tom Coughlin talked about this, so did Ben McAdoo. Jennings, 34 carries.
Yeah.
If there's any week that you maybe want to increase the number of looks and reps for Andre Williams, it would be this week.
It's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's tough enough getting ready for a Thursday night game on a regular workload. He's coming off a 34-carry workload. That's a lot of carries. You know,
oh, yeah.
Running backs these days don't get 34 carries in the game. It just doesn't happen. Remember, Rashad Jennings is a guy that, you know, has never even been a full-time running back for a full 16-game season. So these are all things you have to look at when you manage Jennings' carries going forward. And I agree. I think you're going to see a lot more of Andre Williams, maybe a sprinkling of Peyton Hillis. I know a lot of people out there, for whatever reason, are just dying to see Peyton Hillis play.
Well, we know one in particular.
I don't know why they don't want to see Andre Williams get the ball more. And, you know, me and Paul talked about this on yesterday's show. Andre Williams is a guy in college that was getting 25, 30 carries a game. He needs to get into a rhythm. He's a power back. And I think it's been hard for him to get going, only getting, you know, 2 to 5 carries a game. So if you could figure that out moving forward, how to get him into a rhythm, getting more carries, I think this is a perfect game to do it. Because you want to give Jennings a bit of a rest.
And you want to help the development of Andre Williams. He's still a relatively young running back. He hasn't been involved in many pass rushing situations in terms of pass protection. You also want to see if you can continue to utilize him somewhat as a wide receiver as well. I mean, you need to build additional options. You can't expect Rashad Jennings to get 35 carries a game and expect him to last 16 contests. Keep in mind, as John just alluded to, you know, if you look at his resume coming in, although he's been a great addition to the Giants, I mean, this is his first year as being the guy. The starter. Prior to that, he was a backup for Darren McFadden, as well as Maurice Jones-Drew, dating back to his days with Jacksonville. So you don't all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, want to say, hey, Rashad, you're going to be our workhorse, and we're going to maybe throw in a running back here or there to just get a carry or two. You just can't rely on that game plan. It can wind up backfiring on you in the long run.
No question about it. And you can't wear Rashad Jennings down. You need him there, not only for his rushing ability, but his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, you know, Hillis has done it before, but Williams is still raw in that regard. I think you really need a guy like Jennings around for the long haul to be that all-purpose every down back. Because on third downs, who do you want on the field? You want Rashad Jennings. He's the guy that's going to catch the ball, make a guy miss, and make a play. And, you know, Eli needs as many of those guys on the field as he can get. 201-939-4513. We have some open lines, folks. If you want to get in, now is a good time. 201-939-4513.
Another interesting storyline heading into this game is perhaps some changes to the secondary for the New York Giants.
Yep.
And we're hearing chatter that Stevie Brown is unlikely to start. It will probably be Quinton Demps. According to multiple reports, the Giants are not on the record saying anything official, but we do know that Brown did come out in the latter part of the last contest, and Nat Burhe was the first man up. It wasn't Quinton Demps, but it seems as if Demps is now going to be the first man up against Washington.
Yeah, and look, I think Washington is going to look back there and say maybe there's something we can take advantage of here. I mean, look, Stevie Brown, it's no secret. People have seen it on the game film, and people have seen it on the TV copies too, that Brown struggled this year. Whether it's, you know, being a step slow coming off the ACL or whatever it is, he simply has not played that well. And obviously Will Hill having been cut in the offseason because of all his issues with the recreational drugs. And, you know, Quinton Demps is a veteran. Burhey's is a draft pick, but he's a guy that even coming out of college was known as a much better run defender than he was a pass defender. So that's something to keep in mind. And, you know, Quinn Demps is a guy that had trouble holding down a starting job in Philadelphia. They hope he can do better here, but I think he'll be utilized more around the line of scrimmage, and Roll will be more that center field guy. But, look, the Redskins, look, Kirk Cousins has no fear. And I talked about this being a passing game. This is also going to be a takeaway game, I think, for both teams. And whichever quarterback to me makes the fewer mistakes, that's the team that's going to win. Cousins will give this Giants secondary opportunities to make some plays on the ball. They're going to have the chance to force some turnovers, get some picks. Will they take advantage of it? We'll have to wait and see.
5 touchdowns, 1 interception for Kirk Cousins this season. They have a turnover differential of 0, the Redskins. They've given the ball away 3 times. They've taken it away 3 times. But if it becomes an offensive shootout, you know, that's going to play right into the hands of the New York Giants. Look at Ryan Fitzpatrick, for example. First 2 games of the season, they went heavy with the run. Houston played with the lead. So Ryan Fitzpatrick was in a comfort zone. Game number 3, they're down. They can't run the ball as effectively. Fitzpatrick all of a sudden has to increase the amount of pass attempts. The ball gets thrown through the air more often than not. The Giants are able to be ball hawks and capitalize off of that. So the same thing, if you can limit Alfred Morris, which they've done, by the way, in the 2 meetings last year. Keep in mind, he only had 88 yards in each of the last 2 meetings.
Prior to last season, Alfred Morris did have his way with the Giants. But last season, the Giants did do a good job slowing him down.
So you stop him, then you put Kirk Cousins in the same position that you put Ryan Fitzpatrick in, which is, hey, let him throw 35 times. The more times he puts it in the air, perhaps you'll be able to get in a position to get a rabid interception.
Though, in opposition to that, I do believe the Redskins are better equipped and more comfortable playing in that type of a shootout game than the Texans are.
Because they have the weapons in the receiving game.
And I think Cousins is a better quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I would agree with that, but I also think that Washington's receiving core has got a lot more depth than what Ryan Fitzpatrick has to toy with in terms of Houston.
It's all those things together.
Yeah.
Weapons, quarterback, all those things together. No doubt about it, Lance. Look how the Redskins able to hang with the Eagles last week. The Eagles, one of the best offenses in football. The Redskins hung right with them. So the Redskins, if they get into a shootout, they'll be okay with that.
One player in particular that if I'm the Giants defense, I'm Perry Field, that I'm at least somewhat concerned about. And this was a problem last year, John. The Giants defense had trouble guarding the tight end.
Right.
We've seen some of those issues this year. Garrett Graham didn't put up monster numbers, but late he was getting open and open in that zone defense. Niles Paul is quietly, under the radar, having a very good season. He actually leads the Redskins in receiving yards. Pierre Garçon leads them in receptions, but with Jordan Reed sidelined, then Reed battled concussions last year. Now he's dealing with all types of injuries. Watch out for Niles Paul, because he can take advantage of his opportunities tomorrow.
And he's a guy that's done special teams for them. He has some breakaway speed. He's in there for Jordan Reed, who has yet another injury he's trying to deal with. So certainly something the Giants need to keep an eye on.
Let's head back to the phone lines, 201-939-4513. He's John Schmelk. I'm Lance Meadow. We go to Izzy in the Bronx. Izzy, welcome to the program. What you got?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Iz?
Hey, everything is all right. I know last time I got through with you guys, you know, I was a little passionate. I was a little critical, you know, my Giants. But I just want to say, going to this game, I know you got two confident teams, so to speak, I would say. You got two confident teams that the Giants coming off a win, and the Redskins, even though it was a loss, I think they pretty much got real confident with their effort towards the Eagles. Now, I want to say that I think the Giants is in the same like boat that we was in, comparing to the Arizona game. I say that because Redskins got a lot of injuries, and we coming on a short week. I think the Giants need to take this confidence that we got coming from the Houston game and carry it over and go down to Washington and get this W. So I just want to say, as much as my critical reports was, I want to get some praise. I want to get some praise reports, and I want my G-men to know that I'm watching, and that boy Hankins, Q and my boy Richburg, they playing like some dogs out there. Now. So I just want to get you guys feel of how these guys, you know, carrying over from week one and to, you know, head into this game, what you see the progress report of them and what's going on with them guys.
Well, Izzy, let me say this about confidence first. And I think confidence, Lance, in any sport, week to week, can jump around. You know, the old saying in baseball is that, you know, you're only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. You know, things don't carry over sometimes. It's a different opponent. It's a different week. It's a different game. Now, is there such a thing as momentum? In some situations, maybe, in others, not. You know, there are statistical arguments either way, to be quite honest with you. But you know, people talk about things like confidence, and then last week, oh, they played music at practice, the offensive and defensive linemen fielded punts, and, oh, relaxed everybody, and that's why they won.
The turning point.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to know why they won the football game? It's because Eli Manning didn't throw the ball to the other team. It's because the offensive line blocked J.J. Watt. Do you think the offensive line wouldn't have blocked J.J. Watt if they didn't play music at practice? It might be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my entire life. It's so mind-numbingly stupid. It's just something for people to write about. I mean, music at practice means you block J.J. Watt. Okay, so I'm just going to start playing music in the building the whole day, and everybody's performance is going to get better. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, but I mean, when I say the comparison as far as the Arizona game, we went into that game as far as every expectation of the Giants went into that game and saying, okay, we don't have Carson Palmer, we don't have Dansby, we don't have Dockett to deal with, and the Giants could have won that game. I just, in my personal opinion, we beat ourselves in that game.
Well, self-inflicted wounds. That was the killer in that game.
I mean, we all analyzed that, so I would definitely, you know, not going back. But I'll say the reason why I compare it is because we sort of in the same situation. Now, I'm not saying, you know, RG3 and Kirk Cousins is, you know, I would say he's a little better than Skelton as far as of, you know, if him, you know, just taking the ball.
He's a lot better than Skelton. Oh, yeah, look, Izzy, honestly, I would not be surprised if Kirk Cousins played a whole season if he's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, to be quite honest with you. That's how much talent
now,
he has.
Now, mind you, like I said, when I call, I'm from the Bronx because, you know, I that's what it is. But I live in Northern Virginia now.
Okay.
So I'm around these fans every day. I hear their sports radio, and, you know, they are clamoring, but they still got their, you know, slight not too much 100% confident in Kirk Cousins because they remember his last three games from last year. So if we could just get at him and take advantage of the, you know, the because one of the, I think they right tackle or one of their guards.
Sean LaValle, one of their guards, correct.
So I would say we need to take advantage of the rat pose having a cast on his hand, Hatcher not being 100%, D'Angelo Hall being out for the season. I think this job, we need to take advantage of that.
Now, Izzy, look, you're 100% right. And you listed all those injuries besides one offensive lineman. And by the way, the Redskins' offensive line has been superb this year. They've been very, very good. All the Redskins' issues injury-wise are on defense. So I do believe, like I said earlier, this is going to be an offensive game. The Redskins are going to score some points here. Even if the Giants' defense plays well, Lance, Izzy. The Redskins are still putting up 21, maybe 24 points. Even if the Giants' defense plays well, they're going to score. They have too much talent not to put up between 17 and 24 points on any given week. So
getting back to
your point, the Giants' offense is going to have to score some points. And you're right. They're going to have to take advantage of the Redskins' injured pass rusher. They're going to have to take advantage of the Redskins' injured top cornerback. But this game, to me, is on the Giants' offense. They're going to have to score some points here. And like I said earlier, with the Redskins' good run defense, they're going to have to air it out. We're going to have to see some receivers here make some plays at some point in this game, much like we saw Victor Cruz make plays last week.
Okay, my last point, fellas, before I go.
Knowing that,
right? Wouldn't you say the Giants should be more confident compared to the Redskins being confident going up against the Giants defense? I would say the Giants should be more confident, and the Giants got the upper hand bearing those injuries or whatever. So I would say, you know, G-Man, let's go in there confident, and let's, you know, Eli, I like what I'm seeing, and the line, like I was critical. I gotta give my praise report to the line, and hopefully we can keep it up, man. You guys have a good one.
All right, Izzy, appreciate the phone call. I'm a little leery piggybacking off of Izzy's point, John, and I understand where he's coming from. Yes, on paper, the Giants need to take advantage when a team is banged up, but, you know, we had a similar conversation about Arizona. Oh, it's a significant downgrade, Carson Palmer to Drew Stanton. It's a significant downgrade, Arian Foster to Alfred Blue, and this is going to be an easy wrap-up victory for the Giants. Every team in this league has depth. Let's not forget about that.
Well, no one's saying it's going to be easy, but I do think to a certain extent the Giants failed to take advantage of Drew Stanton being in the game. It was his first game in 4 years. They didn't force one turnover, so the defense failed to take advantage of that. Last week, they did slow down the Texans' running game. I think they took advantage of Foster being out because they made Fitzpatrick beat them, and he couldn't do it. So will they be able to this week put the pressure on this banged-up Redskins defense and force them to change what they're doing by taking advantage of their injury? So, while no, nothing is given in this league, you certainly have an opportunity to take advantage of something like this if the Redskins, which they do, have significant people out on the defensive side of the ball.
Especially in the secondary. Let's head back to the lines, and we go to Miguel in Arizona. Miguel, what's happening?
What's up, Migs?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Doing well, Miguel. What you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, you know, some of the things that I saw in the game, at least. I saw on special teams. For me, a concern is still our special teams because I feel like the gunners aren't getting downfield. Well, they're getting downfield and they're getting to the person, but they're not finishing the tackle. I seen, like, every time we did a kick return or a punt return, there was a missed assignment, at least from the first or second guy, and, you know, the third guy would end up bumping them. They would fall over. So for me, it's like if we make those mistakes with Washington, it's going to burn us.
Well, Miguel, you know, believe it or not, I don't mean to cut you off. I'll let you continue. The Redskins have their fair share of issues on special teams, too. They actually gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown in last week's loss. Chris Polk, 102 yards. So that was a breakdown there. And against the Houston Texans, they allowed a blocked extra point and a blocked punt for a touchdown. So I'm not saying that that's going to give the Giants a break, but you have two teams with major issues on special teams. That could come down to ultimately deciding this game. John was saying it could be a game full of turnovers. Well, it could come down to which special teams unit plays fundamental football.
Okay, and to be honest with you, the way we played in the red zone did not impress me at all. I mean, there was a couple times where we were down there. Obviously, the Larry Donnell fumble, you know, things happen, you know, pick it up and come back. But it was like, I think we were down, I can't remember how many times in the red zone.
Miguel, I think the Giants
settle for field goals and stuff.
Well, they were
that,
two for seven in the red zone last game.
I think the overall for the season, aren't they at like 60%?
I have the numbers. Let me bring them up. But they were 2 for 7 in the last game.
I think their red zone percentage for the season is a little bit better than probably you think, Migs. But you're right. Last week they did have some trouble in the red zone. And look, I think, which is surprising, usually when you run the ball well, you know, you're not going to have those types of issues. And the Giants right now are 50% in the red zone, 17th in the league. It took a hit. Maybe they're around 60% before last
correct
week, and that's what
they were very efficient over the first two games. Yeah. No, you're right about that. The Redskins, by the way, in comparison, have the 6th best red zone offense. They're 8 for 12 this season.
And by
They've
the way,
been very effective.
How was the
best red zone
defense in
best,
the red zone?
It's the best in the league, first in the NFL. They've only allowed 2 touchdowns on 7 tries from opponents.
Best red zone D. Yep.
Yep. So that's a big concern,
it
especially
is
coming from last week.
No,
so,
and you're right. And Miguel, the other thing, too, is that you're going to have to score touchdowns against the Redskins. We talked about their offense. Field goals are not going to win this game. You've got to put it in the end zone.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, guys.
You got it, Miguel. Appreciate the phone call.
And, you know, the red zone's always tricky. And I think part of that is, you know, having a go-to receiver. You know, Dez Bryant, you know, the Cowboys can throw that back shoulder fade to Dez Bryant. It works all the time. I'm not sure the Giants have that go-to weapon right now inside
the
10.
They have Corey Washington, John. What are you talking about? Come on. They've got Corey Washington.
By the way, I'm not sure if you were attached on that tweet. Did you see the tweet to us? I wasn't sure if it was last Friday or maybe this Monday, where someone made a legitimate Corey Washington-Randy Moss comparison.
Yes, I was part of that tweet. Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hello?
We're going back to the Ramsey's-Barden storylines. I told you, we have a continuation of the Ramsey's-Barden storylines, and I'm not comparing Ramsey's-Barden to Corey Washington. Don't misinterpret my words. But
see, I consider it more of an Adewale Ojomo comparison.
Well,
because
in terms of the route he took to make
Barden's
the team,
a draft
I agree.
Pick, a third-round pick, people get excited. See, you're going to the height
I'm
area.
I'm going to the height
yes,
area,
exactly.
Correct. It's the convenience height area, yes. That's where I'll leave it at. Let's try to squeeze in a few more calls
please.
Here. Let's go to Ronald's in Chicago. Ronald's, what's happening?
It's Ronnell.
Ronnell, excuse me.
Ronnell, what's up, pal?
Ronnell, what's happening?
How you doing? I used to call y'all out of D.C., man.
Yeah, I remember that, Ronnell. What's going on?
Yeah, I used to call you out of D.C. Oh, I'm cool. And I want to let you know who I am on Twitter, Smelk. I'm TaylorMade CEO.
Oh, okay. I know you. We've gone back and forth many times over the last couple of years.
About Corey Washington.
What a perfect segue. Thanks
now,
so much.
Now, you weren't – I always remember this for sure. You weren't the guy that made the Randy Moss comparison, though, were you?
No, that's okay. Not me. That's
thank
not
you.
Me. I can't. You can't compare Corey Washington to Randy Moss. Not yet. Goodness.
No, no, not yet.
Not yet.
He threw in the yet.
Hey, you're leaving the door open there, Ronnell.
I mean, the thing is, if you play him, you never know his full potential. You understand what I'm saying? You don't know it until you play him.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, the coaches do see him in practice every day. So, I mean, they see his athletic ability, and not only that, but his knowledge of the playbook and the offense in practice every day. So there are things holding him back that the average fan and even me and Lance don't even see.
That's understood. But what I can say about that is there are a lot of players who didn't perform for certain teams, and when they went to other teams or got under different coaches, they performed on an excellent level.
That doesn't happen with the Giants very often, though, Rennell.
You're right. I mean, we had Ed McCaffrey. Let's not talk about
that. That was 20 years ago.
Well, you
got
to turn back the clock for that one, Rennell. How about naming a guy within the last 5 years or the last 2 minutes that went on? Well, why don't you go to the 1950s while we're at it, too?
You know, that's Sam Huff. He went to Washington.
Oh, boy.
He was
a some playmaker.
Player,
yeah.
Let me tell you.
All right. But.
Go ahead, Rennell. You're on.
Okay. The one thing I wanted to bring up is, I don't think that we use our rookies enough. I think Corey Washington should get play in the red zone. I'm not saying that he will be successful or not, but I think that we need to play him. I think that we go away from our rookies because we don't trust them enough.
Because rookies make mistakes.
Understood. But Victor Cruz made mistakes, so what's the difference?
Yeah, and Victor Cruz didn't play a snap of football his entire first year in the league.
Understood, but you have to give them a chance to make a mistake to be great. You're only going to be great if...
It looks like we may have lost Rennell. Bad connection. The Giants have been playing their rookies more so this year than in previous years, at least off the top of my head, based on defense and offense, and part of that's out of necessity.
Well, and frankly, Devon Kennard would be playing even more if he didn't hurt himself. He probably would have started last week, quite frankly, if he would have even hurt his hamstring. And I honestly believe that. Rechberg starting on the offensive line. Odell Beckham will be getting serious playing time if he was healthy. I mean,
and Larry Donnell's essentially a rookie, too. I mean, he did play last year, but very limited opportunities.
The rookies have been limited by their injuries this year. And look, they put Nat Burry in there last week, too. How about that? And on defense.
They didn't go to Quinton Demps. Nope. They went straight to Burhey. So that does say a lot in terms of them opening the door for young players. In terms of Corey Washington, let's not forget. I mean, he got into the red zone against the Lions. We didn't see much of him since then, but they have been utilizing him in the regular season. It's not as if he sat on the bench.
He played a few snaps last week. I don't have the exact snap count on him. I'd have to take a look at the numbers, but he was in the game last week for a bit.
Well, and let's not forget, he was on the field for special teams when the Texans had the fake punt.
By the way, Tom Quinn said yesterday, I'm not sure if you noticed that wasn't necessarily his responsibility.
But he was on the field.
A lot of people have made that assumption. Mm-hmm. We never did here because I never actually found out if that was the case. He was in the area, but apparently it was whoever was lined up behind Washington. I haven't gone back and looked at the tape to see who that was, but apparently that was not solely. He didn't say none of that was Corey Washington's fault, but he didn't put the onus on him either.
All right, let's head back to the phone lines, 201-939-4513. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Enoch from Philly.
Yeah, how you doing today, sir?
Doing well. How's everything with you?
What's up, Enoch?
Good, man. I'm worried about the Giant defense. I don't know which Giant defense going to show up this year. I'm worried about JC. I'm worried about JPP. I don't know which player going to show up this year, man. I'm worried about the whole team.
Well, Enoch, you know what? I think you have to be happy with what JPP has given you the first few weeks. Now, maybe the sack production's not there, but I think he's been active.
Yeah.
He's been good against the run. He's knocked down a couple passes with those long arms of his. I think JPP has been better than he has been the last couple of years, weeks 1 through 3.
And Victor Cruz, too, man. Victor Cruz got to step up. I understand we don't got no wide receiver right now because Odell Beckham is injured. But Victor Cruz got to be that number one receiver. I understand he was a slot receiver, but he got to step up and be that number one receiver.
Hey, look,
he can't keep dropping passes. Like, I understand last week's game was good. He got to keep that game up.
No, you're right. And I think Victor Cruz was a difference last week. If he doesn't have that huge run after the catch on the slant, and then the run after the catch on the slant for the touchdown, that game could look very different last week. So I agree 100%. Him playing like a number one last week was a big reason they won. And you're right. He's going to have to do more of that going forward if this team wants to have sustained success. I agree with you 100%.
All right, man. The cornerback got to step up, too, because that backfield is terrible, man. I don't know what happened with Steven Brown. He had a good season. He had how many picks, like, a couple of years ago when he got injured? I don't know why. Yeah, he having a bad season.
A part of it is he's still trying to get his legs back underneath him in terms of the torn ACL, and part of it also is just not playing good fundamental football, yeah, taking some questionable and bad angles to the ball, and that's why the Giants are making a change. I mean, if anything, you know, in the past,
according
I think
to reports, making
correct,
a change.
According to reports, in the past. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the Giants have, you know, stuck with the veteran. They have faith in the veteran. You know, now we're starting to see they're not necessarily giving the veteran as much leeway anymore. Mm-hmm. They're automatically going to a change, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
So who do you think will win the game tomorrow?
Honestly, Enoch, if this game was on a Sunday, I'd feel a lot mm-hmm. better about it from a Giants perspective. These road teams on Thursday games tend to struggle a lot because of the lack of preparation time, the travel, lack of practice, all those things put together. So it's going to be a very tight game, a very close game. I'm not one to give predictions on this show. I'll put it this way. I think it'll go down to the fourth quarter, and I think whichever quarterback throws fewer interceptions and fumbles the ball less, that's the team that's going to win the game.
I got one question left, and
yeah,
then y'all can go ahead. So y'all think Odell Beckham going to be the main target this year, or is this going to be Victor Cruz going to be like the main target?
Well, let's get him healthy. I mean, he said the other day, yesterday, that he hopes to be back for the Falcons game. Now, I'm not sure how much he's going to do at wide receiver in the Falcons game. I think maybe he'll return some punts and get in some smaller packages as part of the game plan. If I'm a Giants fan, here's my goal. You get Beckham back next week, you start running him into special teams a little bit. And then the 2 weeks after that, which will take you up to the bye, you start slowly working him in as a wide receiver, a little bit against the Eagles, a little bit more against the Cowboys. Then you get to the bye week. When you come off of the bye week, Enoch, that's when you want to roll him out there as maybe your number three wide receiver, or if he shows you enough in those 2 weeks, I would hope by midseason, week 10 or 11, maybe he's even challenging Reuben Randall for that number two wide receiver spot. But here's the key. He has to stay healthy and stay on the field and practice. If he's not out there practicing every day, he's not going to make the progress he needs to be a factor as a wide receiver.
All right. Thank you, sir. Go G-Man.
I do not appreciate the phone call. He can't be an Ahmad Bradshaw.
No.
Where he plays Sundays and then shows up at practice Friday. I'm not saying Bradshaw was doing it on purpose. He was hurt. But if Odell Beckham Jr. becomes that and that's the script he follows, it's going to stunt his development and growth.
Yeah, he will not be a big factor as a wide receiver this year. He's got to be on the practice field. He's got to be out there practicing.
He's got to gain chemistry with Eli Manning. You know,
he has to learn the playbook.
Being in the meeting room is one thing, but digesting the playbook and then carrying it out on the practice field is a whole other thing.
Seeing it on the video screen is one thing. I could sit here and watch, you know, game film on my iPad or on Lance's computer all day long. Watch it all day long. It's easy to see it on the screen. It's harder to take what you see on the screen, transfer it up here now, and then apply what's up here to the guy that's sitting across from you in a live football game. All right? The first step is doing it in a practice and translating it to practice. Once you get it to practice, you have to translate it to the live game on Sunday. And until that happens, he's going to struggle. He's going to make mistakes. And look, guys, keep this in mind. And I made this example with Paul the other day. Larry Donnell, he's a young developing player, right? You said he might as well be a rookie. He had some snaps last year. So this is his second year. Still a ton of more of experience than Odell Beckham. And he practiced all year last year, did Larry Donnell, okay? Odell Beckham has now had still zero full participation practices for the Giants. 0.0. Goose egg. All right? And Larry Donnell, even in his second year, in a whole year of practicing last year, was still, despite his production, part of two turnovers. Because he fumbled it inside the five, and he didn't turn around on an Eli Manning slant. Those are two rookie mistakes that turned into two turnovers. So even if you have the talent to get on the field, you have to put it all together to not make those big mistakes. That'll hurt your team. And again, I'm not throwing Larry Donnell under the bus. I'm not saying he shouldn't be out there playing. But these are the mistakes that young guys make. And for Beckham, a guy that, again, hasn't been a full participant in practice once since he's gotten here, to expect him to give you something right away is foolhardy.
He also needs to adjust to the speed of the game. He hasn't even been in a preseason game, and most college kids need to all of a sudden adjust to what an NFL regular season game operates like. So that's going to be another thing. I brought up Tom Quinn's comment on Corey Washington from the transcript. This is what he said in terms of that fake punt play. Corey was in a good spot. It was the guy behind him. He just has to stay tighter to his guy, referring to Corey. There is a reason why we make certain calls, and that was one of them. Expect to play it better.
There you go.
So it was the player in back of him. I don't recall who was in back of him either.
I'll look
at
the tape.
And Tom Quinn didn't throw out that player. But he claims that Washington was in a good spot, still lacked the execution, regardless of being in the right spot. But that at least should clarify what exactly transpired on that fake punt play.
No question about it.
And hopefully the special teams will come to play on Thursday because, as I mentioned, the Redskins have their issues. The Giants have their issues. That is going to be a huge storyline. And as John mentioned, as well as I did earlier, you have a Redskins secondary that is unproven, has a number of unproven commodities. And on paper, that would be the matchup that you would expect the Giants to try to take advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. Look, this to me, Lance, despite the fact that both teams want to be a ground-and-pound team, and Jay Gruden, look, he likes his quarterbacks, he's a Gruden, we get that, but even when he was in Cincinnati, Giovanni Bernard, the law firm, they ran the football, and they're running the football in Washington, too, and I think the Giants would love to run the ball 25, 30 times, not all Rashad Jennings this week, but split it up. But to me, eventually, where both these teams can be had is in the secondary, and that's going to be where they're going to be able to do their damage, all right? So this is going to be a passing game, the quarterbacks are going to play well. And here's why I might be leaning towards the Redskins a little bit. I trust the Redskins' weapons outside to make more plays than I trust the Giants' weapons outside to make plays. Now, I trust Eli more than I trust Cousins not to make mistakes. And that swings it back the other way a little bit. That's why I think it's tricky. If Cousins protects the football and doesn't turn it over, I think the Giants will have a very tough time winning this football game. But I do think the Giants secondary can and will turn them over a little bit. That's why, to me, this is a coin flip game. Whoever makes the play at the end is going
to
win.
I think they have to follow the same game plan that they did against the Texans. Stop Alfred Morris and make Kirk Cousins make one play after another. He's got the weapons, yeah. John, but he'll become a little bit more predictable if you take away the comfort of Alfred Morris. If Morris runs wild, then you're going to have that balanced Washington attack, and that's going to put a lot of strain on this Giants defense.
See, I have faith in the Giants defense to stop the run. We've seen them stop the run for the most part
this year.
They've
been very effective this
season. You know, yeah. Andre Ellington had some good numbers, but, you know, they came on three runs. Otherwise, they did a pretty good job slowing down that Cardinals running attack. I'm not going to get all upset about that game in week number two. But I have seen holes in the secondary, and I've seen teams take advantage of it with big plays. I've seen quarterbacks that are not Kirk Cousins, as good as Kirk Cousins, take advantage of it. So that's why I think in the end this is going to turn into a passing game, and it's going to be the first air-it-out fest for the Giants this year. I can see both quarterbacks going 300-plus.
Well, hopefully it'll be better than Falcons-Bucks last Thursday.
Oh, well, I'm not – yeah, please, please.
We don't need a repeat of that for either team's sake.
Please.
So that'll do it for us here on this Wednesday. You can catch Big Blue Kickoff Live each and every weekday at noon Eastern. For John Schmelk, I'm Lance Meadow. We will speak to you tomorrow on the radio broadcast that you can catch on WCBS 880 AM.
And Big Blue Kickoff tomorrow at noon. It'll be Anita Marks and Jeff Fiegels with you. Then Lance and I are back on Friday.
There you go. Have a good one.